a treat for you this morning. Gary and his wife are here with us, and Gary's going to bring the word. And I met Gary a few years ago because Gary is a friend of Jen's and Kevin, and he's a mobile mechanic, and I needed a windshield replaced. And he came all the way from Manhattan and brought a windshield and put it in my truck. And Gary is a chaplain to the racetracks in Medicine Hat. He's a generous man, and he has a love for Jesus. So Gary, and I'm not sure if you both are preaching, or Gary is the preacher today. So she told you what to say. Come on up, Gary. How about you, Gary? Welcome.
Well, good morning. Don't do that again. That's how you drive the sound man crazy. I used to do sound, and that was one of my pet peeves, is when they get up and start beating on the mic. I guess some of you know who I am. Who is Gary? I've been married to my wife for 30 years. She always asked me, because I remember, 34 years. And without God, I can tell you that we would not be together today. I'm not the man I was, because God has brought me a long way. Yeah, she's amen in that. I grew up in a family just outside of Regina, actually, Edenwald, if anybody knows where that is. We were brought up unchurched. We were so unchurched, we didn't even go on weddings and funerals. We didn't go to church unless it was a family member. So I remember things like, don't you lie to me. It's not right to lie. But what I saw was, as long as it made things better, Mom and Dad could lie all they want. So that's what I kind of learned. As you can see, I have a thumb that is missing. Well, half missing. The lie that I told for years was one that my father had told me, because I didn't want to look. He said, we don't want you to look stupid. So tell people this is what happened. We had cattle. I closed the gate behind the tractor, caught my thumb in the gate, stampede of cattle came, took me along the fence, and pulled my thumb off in the gate. It got to the point where I could tell that story at the drop of a hat, because I believed it to be true. What really happened is I grabbed a power takeoff with a mitt on. And I know, being a farming community, you know exactly what happens. That is easier to say than the big story I had about what happened. Shortly after I was saved, somebody says, what happened to your thumb? And the power takeoff story came out. That wasn't me. And then I sat back and thought, yeah, that's what happened. But it really took me back, because I'm making this big story up that isn't true, but I believe to be true. And if you believe something long enough, you will believe it to be true, even though it is false. So I met my lovely wife. I sold her a car. I'm still paying for it. It was a lemon, yes. But it wasn't that bad. It got us to Ontario. So neither of us were saved at the time. And we ended up in Ontario because there was no work at that time here. So friend of the family said he had a job for us. So for 3 months, I worked in construction. I'm a mechanic. Worked in construction, putting drywall up, doing reconstructive. And when payday came along, Dave says, well, that pays your rent. So for 3 months, I made nothing but rental payments. So we had to phone my mom. Can you send us some money so we can come home? So she sent us gas money, and we came home. I started a business in Medicine Hat years ago, and it was really not doing well. So it ended up failing. However, the bank, when I went to the bank for money, they said, you need to go bankrupt. It was just shortly after I was saved, and I said, that doesn't sound like something I should do. So I prayed to God, and when I was saved, the church is not getting any of my money. Never. Don't use that word. With God. So I thought, okay, I'll open the Bible. Well, Matthew 6:33 comes up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I said, what do I do, God? Malachi comes up next. This is not good for a person who will never give a dollar to the church, but now I'm a robber. Malachi 3:8-10. How am I robbing you? In tithes and offerings. And like you said, it's. I thought, okay, it says prove me in this. Test me. That's the only place I can find that God says, test me. So I tested God. I said, okay, I'm going to tithe. 1 year. I want to see where I am in a year. I was $18,000 in debt with no real income coming into the business. But I tithed to the penny. I'm good with math. Ross was the treasurer at the time, and he phoned me one time. He said, so you wrote a check for $328.01. He said, why is that? I said, that's my tithe to the penny. Now, remember, I was $18,000 in debt at the start of the year. At the end of the year, even the bank couldn't figure out how it happened, but I said, okay, this is the year. We check it out. I'm $1,800 in debt. What a great God we have with a great sense of humor. Okay, you're going to tie it to the penny? I'll show you what that looks like. Knocked a zero off. I thought, man, God, you are funny. I never looked back from that day. There's times where we needed money for food. We paid our tithe first. And God has brought us so far with that. It's one of my strong points. I said I would never give money to God. Now I realize it's his money that he's giving to me to be a steward. So you need to get to know God. And it is so good when you get to know him. Like, what's my plan? What's God's plan for my life? I'm glad he didn't tell me when I was first saved. It says to go from not being saved to you're going to preach in front of people. Not me. The only preachers I knew were the ones I saw on TV on Sunday mornings. And we're talking 30 years ago. So, you know, for your love offering of $19.99, we will give you this $2 candle. That's my math. That's my way of thinking. So that's what I saw. That's who I believe God was. My wife was saved a year before I was. that was a bad year for her. I made it really, really rough. And for me to say one time, because she was starting to backslide a little bit, I'm not saved yet, but I noticed it. I said, well, you know, maybe we should go to church. That knocked her for a loop. So we went to church, and the third time that we went, we didn't go every week, but the third time, the preacher was preaching. Roy Beyer, I don't know if anybody knows him. He's with the Family Action Coalition now, but he was preaching, and I was sitting there fighting with myself. Go up. You need to get saved today. I'm not going up. Nope. Too proud. I ended up going up at the end. God wins out. And I received the Lord that morning. Do you know what the message he preached was? Tithing and stewardship. I heard nothing that whole morning. I was too busy fighting with myself. Now, again, God has got such a sense of humor, because if I'd have heard anything about money, I'd have been out the door. It wasn't until later that I found out it was a tithing message and a stewardship campaign that they were on. God, you are funny. Then after, I said, we're not going to church more than once a week. Weeks are only one day long, just so you know. Okay. They asked if I'd like to be involved in any ministry. I said, anything but kids. Never, never, never kids. 3 or 4 weeks. Can you help us with a drama skit? Oh, I can do drama. Kids ministry. Drama. So this is down in the basement of the church we were at. I'm dressed up like Goliath. A short, fat Goliath, but Goliath. I'm walking back and forth doing my chant. I had a real sword in my hand, and I get up onto a chair. Boom! Stuck the sword into the roof. I found a stud. I pull, the sword stays there. I finally got it out. The kids are laughing and laughing and laughing. And I said, Anita, never again. The following week, she said, the kids love you. I said, yeah, they love to laugh at me. That's what they love. They love you. We're doing Lazarus. Can you do Lazarus? Okay. I like drama. So my lovely wife, Helen, how many rolls of toilet paper? I mean, she wrapped every finger. So I got, you know, straggled and couldn't see. So she put two little slits, and I put my glasses on over top. We built a tomb, a doorway, and we just put that nice brown paper over and painted like a tomb. And they put the little kids in the front and the rest back. Well, I come bolting when he said, Lazarus, come forth. I bolted through there. Do you know what kind of sound that makes when you break through paper? I had, I don't know, 10, 12 little kids in the front crying their guts out. Because I look like a mummy. So I said, never again. At first they're laughing, now they're crying. The older kids thought it was fantastic, but it was about a month or a month and a half later, they needed help. Can you preach? I said, preach? To kids? Are you kidding? Long story short, I ended up being the children's minister after a short time. And I'm still in children's ministry today. So, because I am a big kid at heart. And like I say, to go from where I was to where I am, if God gave me the whole plan, I would have bolted. Nobody knows the full plan. You don't know the full plan yet for your life. You don't want to know. It will scare you. It would have scared me. You're going to dress up as a Roman soldier with a nice little skirt and a sword? No, I'm not. But I did. So like I said, getting to know somebody. You need to get to know God to find out your plan. Who's been married more than 20 years? Wow, good. 10? 5? 50?
62.
62. Wow. So do you guys know each other quite well then? Still working on that, right? Here's something that a newlywed will not hear. Like the, we'll say 5 years and under. Is the husband over here and saying,
I said I can't hear you from down here.
Anybody married 5 years or younger, you don't do that. You go running. Yes, dear? I didn't call you. Oh, sorry. Back out to the garage. Come back running. Did you say something? No. You get tired of that, so you just yell after a while. So a couple who've been married for quite a few years thought they were having trouble and we should maybe fix this. They went to a marriage counselor. And after about an hour of counseling, the counselor says, here's what's needed. And he went over to the wife and gave her a hug. And he says to the husband, she needs that every day. He said, great. What time do you want us here tomorrow? A guy was down in the dumps. His friend says, what's the matter? He says, my girlfriend. He said, well, what's wrong? Well, I asked her if she could learn to love me. And she asked how much I was willing to spend on the training. That could be a long term. This is funny. Husband and wife getting ready for bed. The wife is standing in front of the mirror and she says, you know, honey, I'm starting to look old. I'm getting wrinkled. Things are sagging. I just don't look good. Is there anything positive you can say that would make me feel better? He says, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. Men, we need to listen to our wives. So here's a little story. Would you like anything for your birthday? She says, oh, I'd love to be 6 again. He remembers that. So on her birthday, he takes her to the amusement park, takes her on all the wild rides, the zipper, the everything. Her stomach's kind of unsettled, but after 3 hours of that, now they're going to McDonald's. They're going to have burger, fries, and a chocolate shake. And he takes her to the store and buys her M&Ms. And what a day. Like, wow. So at the end of the day, they're at home finally, and they're exhausted. He said, so, what was it like to be 6 again? She says, you idiot. I meant size 6. The moral of the story is, even if we're listening, guys, we may get it wrong. So recently, I turned 40. More recently, I turned 57. We've been married for 34 years. Master plan. What's God's plan? At the time we were married, I didn't know that God had a plan. I didn't propose to my wife. She gave me an ultimatum. We're getting married or we're done. That's an ultimatum. I'm glad I chose wisely. In the blog world, I guess, or online world, I'm a lot younger than some. I haven't been Facebooking and YouTubing and twitting. If you put those together, it's you twit face, just so you know. I should start a website. Maybe not. God knows the thoughts in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He gave me a future and a hope. I can look forward. Imagine when you're back in school, like, you have to get to know God. Imagine back in the day, your parents picked you up from school, said, get in the car, we're going for a trip. What would you do? You got in the car. Why is it as adults, if God says, get in the car, we're going on a trip, we have 842,712 questions? Well, where are we going? How long is it going to be? I haven't got anything ready. I can't. Get in the car. With Peter, Peter had an amazing ministry. When he walked on the water, what did he have to do? Anybody? Before that, he had to get in the boat. You can't get out of the boat unless you get in the boat. Or swim behind. That'd be tough. That's what I'm saying. If you know God, get in the boat, get in the car, whatever mode of transportation he has for you. There's another question. Why do we ride in a car but on a bus? Our English language is a little weird at times. Your mom and dad would pack all your stuff, you'd get in the car, and you'd go on the trip. Now, imagine a taxi cab. He knows your destination, but you don't. So he comes to pick you up. Do you get in the car? Do you tell him, because he knows where the destination is, do you tell him where to make all the turns? Then why do we do that with God? Oh, no, I don't. No, this way. What would your cab fare be if you told the cab to turn, when you don't know what the destination is? That'd be a pretty hefty bill. Expensive. Where are we going? What are we doing? We want to be in control at all times as people. Even me, even now, yes, I've been in God's plan for quite a few years, and I still have questions. Really? I felt really silly when I asked you who you were. We were with my pastor, who is Pastor Gary. His dad is Gary. So in our church, we have lots of Garys. And I know he came from Prince Albert, so he's been all over. And I get this text that says, hi, Gary, are you able to preach? I go to my pastor, Pastor Gary, says, does that number look familiar to you? I had his number, but I didn't put him in as a contact. Once I found out who it was, I said, you're now on my contacts list. So I fixed that, but it was pretty funny. Driverless cars. You think that's a good idea? Cab pulls up that you called, nobody in the car, do you get in? Don't if you're going to Havre, because my phone can't find Havre, Montana. Try it sometime with Siri. I can't find Have Her Montana. Here's what I found for Hannah Montana. No have her. I tried Avery. I tried every pronunciation you can imagine. God doesn't tell us the future. We don't live in the past. His day is today. Live today. I'm finally at an age where I can look back and see what God has done. And I know that if I try to look ahead, I don't know the destination. How can I figure out the destination? Well, if I was in control of my destination when I was first saved, I wouldn't be here today. Because if I was in control of my destination, I wouldn't have got saved. Because God was the furthest thing from my list. We need to get on His list. I'm sure a lot of us can relate. I know kids that grew up in the church that God wasn't really on their list because they felt forced. Everybody has a testimony. I have a great one. Everybody's testimony is fantastic. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. One thing the devil doesn't have is a testimony. What's he got? Nothing. We can know God's plan. But you know what? He didn't promise us a plan, did he? He promised us himself. My grace is sufficient for you. In all things, in all circumstances, God will get us through. If God brings you to it, he will get you through it. Just hang on. I said this one time. If you say, Jesus, I want to be more like you, hang on. And hang on hard. Because we got a long way to go. Think of Peter's life. I really get a kick out of Peter. Peter reminds me a lot of me. I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. It wasn't too long before the rooster crowed. But God still used him. God had a plan. God used me. We had a ministry at one time in Medicine Hat and Riverside, SWAT, Spiritual Warfare Advancement Training for Kids. At times we had 110, 120 kids, and it was myself and Helen. But the kids, we had stars, we had stripes, you had different ranks, different levels that you went. The kids were ministering to kids. We had memory verses. If they could learn so many memory verses, they get a stripe. Then they're teaching other kids how they learned the memory verse. Fantastic stuff. That was something God brought to our heart. So from scratch, we did this. Somebody said, well, do you have a manual? And the manual we had some stuff in it, but a lot of it was just God breathed it through us. My pastor, I was out at the racetrack. This is another thing God throws. He doesn't throw a wrench into it. He takes our wrench out of it because we end up throwing a wrench into things. Even me getting started in my mobile auto service business, my wife said, you need to start on your own. I'm looking at the paycheck that I was getting. I don't get that if I go on my own. So instead of when I left the one job, I went and took another one as a mechanic, which didn't work out for obvious reasons. God had a bigger plan. But in that year, I learned a lot about mechanics. And if I'd have listened to my wife, I'd have been in business 2 years earlier. If I'd have listened to God, it probably would have been 3 or 4 years earlier. But finally, I didn't get fired. He said, we're putting a different hoist in here, and I've got a guy coming in that's going to do alignments. And so we're getting out of the wiring. Wiring was my thing. Well, still is my thing. So that's when I really felt God said, okay, I kicked you out of the nest, fly. And I had all the dealers in Medicine Hat come with me. So I had instant clientele. Isn't God good? It's like I could almost hear him saying in an audible voice, I told you, I got this. If we would just let him get into the plan that God has for our lives. So I'm out at the racetrack doing the pace car. I'm a licensed minister. 29 years they ran the speedway, and they never ever prayed before a race. Now, if there's any NASCAR fans, they pray before every race. Almost any motorsports, they pray before they start. So I felt I need to go to the board and present that we should start every race day with prayer. Before I could get all of that out, because I said, Gary's got something for us, so I stood up and said, in NASCAR with Motor Racing Outreach that I'm part of, we pray before every race. So what I would really like to propose to the board, and the secretary stopped me, she said, so the motion will read that we start every race day with prayer? Okay. That's kind of what I was going to say. I was going to use a lot more words, but yeah, that works. So then they voted unanimous for it. I said, so where do we go from here? And the director says, you're the chaplain. You tell us. So I went from pace car driver to chaplain. And so when God's got control, when he's got the plan, things really do work for good. We haven't missed prayer before the races. Once that was set in place, the ministry kind of took off, because I have drivers that were very standoffish because they knew I was a Christian, one of those charismaniacs. We don't have chandeliers, and neither do you, so I guess we're good. I can't swing from them. But now I have had countless number of drivers come to me before the race and say, can you just pray with me real quick? Just so I can keep my head in it. One guy says, my head is so... He says, I don't know. He said, there's just something going on. I said, come here, Rolf. We'll pray for you. And we prayed right there. Just him and I. Nice and quiet. He gets in his car. He came after the race, hunted me down. He says, I don't know what you did. He said, but my head was clear all night. I said, I did nothing. God did it through me. But you believed, so you received. So I've prayed for, like I say, countless numbers of drivers. And the ones that are standoffish, they call me chaplain. So there is something to be said about God. There's a reverence to God and who God is. We need to get into the plan that he has for our lives. Now, in saying that, what's the first step? How do you get into the car? Well, first, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord. Because to get in the car with somebody that's going to take you somewhere, you need to know him. And you need to know him personally. Even a cab driver, some of them are sketchy looking. you wouldn't want to get in a car. And like I say, the autonomous cars, that's just weird. I phone for a cab and nobody's there. I don't know if I'm going to get in. If Jesus is in the car with you, that means you've accepted him. He's there. Boom. God is everywhere. You accept Jesus, he's with you. We got this. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I am so excited for what God has for me moving forward. I don't know what it is, but I'm excited. When we started the children's ministry, I've never written anything for children's ministry. I've never written a whole lot of stuff. I just buy the books and teach the courses. She did a lot of the legwork. I got to stand up and preach. Get it off the pages. Bring life to people. There's gifts that each of us have that we need to really start using. What's your gift? I mean, for me, one of my desires was the Speedway and to reach people that more than likely would never darken the door of a church. The language has changed a lot from what it was to what it is now. I don't mean English. So obviously there's an impact. And I do believe that some of those racers are going to end up in church one day. Usually they're so beat up by the end of Saturday night that they're sleeping in on Sunday. So we'll just have to make them drive better, don't wreck the car, and come and visit with the big guy, the guy that keeps us safe. So use your gifts. Like that music this morning, that was fantastic. Great job, everyone. Hannah, Juan, and Delaney. You think I'd remember that because, you know, it's such a common name. There's so many of them. Where are they? Oh, there he is, just like on stage, way in the back. Use your gifts. I play keyboard. I play drums. I learned keys on a little chord organ that you would push the button for the key or for the chord, and then you played with the right hand. You just played. No lessons, nothing. I pushed the chord, then I would play the notes I heard in the chord with my right hand. And it wasn't until, that was long before church. I mean, I got started when I was 11, so. Came into church, and of course they said, "Do you play any instruments?" Well, I kind of play keyboard and piano a little bit. So, again, this is God's plan, right? A gift that he gave me early on. So, for quite a few years at the start, I played all the major chords. If there was any kind of little thing, or a 7, or a 6, or a 2, or an M, or a M, A, J, 7, that ain't happening. It's open chord. You'd know what I mean. You guys fill in the other notes. I'll play it. I now play almost every chord. I say almost because there's a new one that pops up in a song that's just, really? My favorite chord, as any Christian artist should be, is G-sus. So I played keyboard and piano for quite a few years, and then our drummer, Wayne, was going to Christ for the Nations down in the States. He said, "Do you play drums?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, you got a good beat. You should try playing drums. I'll teach you." Okay, so I sat down, and he says, "You know, foot, move this, move that. Everything moves at a different time." He played a song, and then I played the drums, and he said, "Yeah, you're good." And it was two Sundays later, I'm on drums. He said, how long have you been playing drums? Well, what time is it? God gives the ability if you make the availability happen. Be available. I would have never thought I'd play drums. It was amazing that I was playing keyboard in the church, let alone drums. Guitar, well, yeah. How many strings you got on that? Four? Five? Oh, a difficult bass. Most basses that I see have four, so how can you go wrong? You got a 1 in 4 chance of hitting the right note, right? What's this hand for? You don't use that hand? Well, not this hand, right? Because when you put it all together, all our gifts together, the places that God can take us is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ministry outside the church, ministry within the church, ministry anywhere. I'm on call 24/7. My phone will ring. I may not answer it at 2:30, but it will ring. But God is good. I thank everybody for allowing me this morning to speak. If you'd like to get to know what God's plan or what his starting plan or his medium plan or wherever you are, if you'd like to know the next step, maybe come up and Pastor Hans and I could pray for you to get your next step. Because when you know, it's quite simple. God could say something now, and if it was major, I would question it. Are you sure you got the right guy? Well, kind of sound like Moses, don't I? I don't speak well. Okay, I'll send him with you. God will make a way. Just make yourself available. So anyone this morning that would like prayer to figure out what God's next step in your plan is, or if you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, this morning would be a great start. Step